It's The Drive with Rob and Roz, and we're very lucky this afternoon to be joined by a man out of the UK who sings and plays music and is on his way to South Africa for the first time. James Bay is on the line. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Wow, what a lovely little intro that was. Very nice to be here. Very nice to talk to you and to finally be making proper contact with South Africa.
It's going to be your first time in South Africa. We can't wait to see you.
It is my first time. I feel like almost everybody I know has at least gone on holiday or done some sort of fantastic adventure to South Africa, and I feel like the last one. So I'm not only am I looking forward to coming, but I'm of course looking forward to playing shows.
Have you been playing tourists? So kind of making plans for what you want to come and see and do here?
Not yet. I operate in the present moment as far as touring. So I'll probably about 2-3 weeks before I'll probably sort of get my head in the game and then sort of do a little research and then I'll have something to sort of go looking for once I arrive.
Most people who come and tour to South Africa from overseas can't stop talking about the food and the wine and the beer and all the lovely delicacies that we have. It's really multi-award-winning stuff. Is there anything that you're looking forward to?
Well, my dad, I'm just giving you the full sort of backstory. Like, my dad is retired now, but he was a wine merchant. For 45 years or so, he really sort of was busy working in wine and knowing his stuff. So he certainly has only ever spoken incredibly highly of South Africa. He's, of course, been. So I feel like I got a good sort of sense of how important it is to go and like eat and drink in South Africa, let alone spend time there. So I'm excited to finally do those things for myself.
Now, James, you've mentioned before that one of your songs was influenced by Sesame Street. I was wondering, your new album just come out, Changes All the Time. Are we going to have any SpongeBob-inspired songs on there? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? I don't know, something like that?
Not quite on this one, I got to say. There's something a little bit more sort of vulnerable, earnest, and sort of perhaps sort of deeper. And I mean, it's not to say that it was a song on my second album that was felt very inspired by Sesame Street sonically, but like... I remember making that song. It's called In My Head, and it just had such a joyous kind of playful sort of quality to it. This time, it's not like there aren't songs on this album that have that. Like, for example, Up All Night is a song on Changes All the Time that, yeah, it has a big upbeat, joyous kind of up-tempo energy, but there's a lot more, I guess, emotional sort of... There's always emotional depth in my music, in my lyrics, in what I make. And perhaps it's just even more upfront and kind of obvious on this album. So, yeah, not so much Sesame Street or SpongeBob on this record.
Do you sometimes feel like it's easier to be vulnerable and open in music than to just come out and say how you feel? And why is that?
Definitely, yes, I do. Why is that? Because I guess I've got an amount of sort of insecurity, just like anybody else. As far as, you know, when my insecurity sort of manifests, it struggles to sort of communicate directly and finds it more therapeutic and just easier to express the struggles in the form of a song or at least some kind of sort of art. You know, when I was a kid, I would paint and draw a lot. I would sort of take myself away, kind of hide away and get creative to, you know, pacify my own. We all have sort of anxieties from an early age, whether we like it or not. And then I went on and to discover music. And I always loved listening to music. I used to, when I would draw and paint as a little kid, I would always be listening to music when I was doing that. And then music sort of really kind of filtered in. And I eventually learned to play the guitar and really enjoyed expressing myself that way. And it's just a great therapy for me, ultimately, making music. Sometimes it might be a good place to hide because sometimes you need to hide. And sometimes it might be a good place to sort of seek some kind of sanctuary because sometimes that's what we need, whether it's listening or creating, but particularly for me, creating music.
So you've been on the same stage as the Rolling Stones. You've played Madison Square Gardens. You've got a Grammy. All of these incredible dreams coming true. If you could go back and tell 11-year-old James that this would be his future, how do you think he'd react?
Yeah, I think about that quite a lot, actually, because especially, you know, I'm 34 years old now, and I think coming into my 30s, finding out, there was like a pandemic that we had to get through, but the whole time I was able to maintain my career, which I feel incredibly sort of fortunate and sort of lucky to have been able to do. And it's in that time, really the last sort of 4 or 5 years, that I've sort of thought a lot about kind of 11-year-old me and thought, wow, this, if you could tell him this, it would be quite, he would be like amazed. It would be quite sort of hard to believe and extremely exciting to sort of anticipate. Because I think 1 year of the experience I've had, or 1 month of the experience I've had for the last sort of 12, 13 years, was everything that like 11-year-old me sort of dreamed of. So yeah, it's really quite an unbelievable feeling. And yeah, he would struggle to sort of believe.
So you are a self-proclaimed music encyclopedia. So do you ever go out on stage like the Foo Fighters and just decide to play something? So just go for it.
I mean, in more recent years, like I have done that kind of thing a little bit more. Particularly, there's moments in the set when I'm sort of up on stage on my own, and I get a little bit loose and free in those moments, you know, so I don't like spring it on the band and like, you know, surprise them too much, because you know, we try to read each other's minds, but I don't expect them to be able to do it completely. So there's moments in the set when they disappear, and I do little moments, a couple songs alone. And I have enjoyed doing that more. And sometimes fans will call out old songs of mine, and I will just sort of play them on the spot. Sometimes I haven't played them for 10 years. Sometimes I haven't played them for 5 years or whatever, or a long time. But even with covers, yeah, I mean, as far as a sort of encyclopedic approach to retaining lots of different music, I enjoy that. Yeah, I enjoy trying to do that. So yeah, is the answer to your question. Like, sometimes that does happen. I'm not the Foo Fighters, but I'm some very sort of small sort of solo singer-songwriter version, maybe.
Recently, some people have been saying nice things about you. Brian May from Queen praised your guitar playing. I know you're a very relaxed and humble guy, but just be cocky for a second. I've got some names written down. Who do you think you could take in a guitar riff off one-on-one?
Oh, wow. All right, let's go.
First option, the man himself, Brian May.
I couldn't do it. He's written some of the most, I think, in 300, 400, 500 years' time, when anybody wants an example of this ancient art of playing guitar, they will play more Brian May than they will ever play me or even think about me. So it's a no. Brian will win.
Eric Clapton.
He's my hero. I cannot offend him by sort of saying, yeah, I'd be able to take him. So that's another no.
Kirk Hammett from Metallica.
I'll have a go at Kirk.
Really, you reckon he's the one?
I try him. You know why? Because we're coming from such different sort of sonic places. He is incredibly good at like shredding and like heavy riffs. I think I might be able to get him with something a little bit more tender.
What about Tony Iommi from Black Sabbath?
Tony Iommi's another big legend. I met him this year. I don't know, you know, he really was the first heavy metal guitar player, and he sort of shaped such a huge part of guitar playing in the 20th and the 21st century. So I'm going to say no.
I mean, to be honest, you've had the edge on him by having 10 fingers and all.
Oh, no, we can't be doing that to poor Tony. You know, look at what he's done with, like, what, 9.5 fingers or 9 fingers. He's done very well.
Finally, and you guys share a guitar, actually, your weapon of choice being the Gibson SG, AC/DC's Angus Young.
Yeah, I love the SG. Angus is just, again, way too much of a hero of mine for me to be sort of trying to go toe-to-toe with such a beast. I would happily collaborate with Angus Young. I would happily get up there and play alongside. I wouldn't dare try and take him.
Awesome. James, listen, thank you so much. We cannot wait to see you here in South Africa next year. Thanks for coming down to visit, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks, man. Thank you very much. That's very kind. It's been lovely to chat.
It's James Bay, acclaimed singer-songwriter, on The Drive with Robin Ross, chatting about his shows, which are coming to South Africa, his first ever South African tour. March 2025, the 27th, he'll be at the Kirstenbosch Botanical Gardens in Cape Town. And on Saturday, the 29th of March 2025, at Marks Park in Emerentia. Tickets are on sale at breakoutevents.co.za.